Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I ain't gonna be a billionaire. Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat. I got a special guest on my show, so take some notes. We got an author, we got a speaker, we got an entrepreneur, we got a college professor. Ladies and gentlemen, Shalay Jean Baptiste.
Did
I say it right?
Yes, you said it right.
Chalet that's all
Jean-
I need.
It was close. It was good. Chalet Jean-Baptiste. Yes.
All right. I tried.
Yes. You did a good job.
Well, thank you for coming through.
Yes,
I appreciate
thank you.
You.
Yes. I'm so excited to be here with you.
No doubt. Yes. No doubt. I'm glad you could make it. You know, we actually met on the phone today real quick. And once I heard the energy, I was like, oh, you got to come. You got to come on the show.
And we from New York.
Yeah, big fact.
You know we can. You know.
You from Brooklyn, right?
Brooklyn. Yes.
Brooklyn. That's what's
Brooklyn,
up.
New York.
BX, I'm over here.
Best time from the Bronx.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a point in time the BK didn't like BX.
I know. What's that with that? It was a point in time that from people from Brooklyn never went to the Bronx, and people from the Bronx never went to Brooklyn. Did you ever come to Brooklyn?
Sometimes.
See, but it wasn't a lot, right? It was so far.
Yeah. It seemed so far, but when I went back recently, it was literally like maybe four train stops away from where I was staying. I was staying in Manhattan when I went over there.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
But I mean, I have friends in the Bronx, though.
Oh, okay. Well, back in the day, I used to drive with my family, so going across the bridge, it seemed like it would take an hour. Or we'd take a train and only go to, like, Coney Island or something like that. Then you're like, oh, damn, this is
too
long.
Well, traffic is bad now, so
it'll
take
you
2 hours to get to the Bronx.
Yeah, it's been like 15 years since I lived in New York.
Yeah, me too. So.
That's what's up. Well, you know, the reason why I brought you here today is, you know, you're doing a lot of great things.
Yeah.
You know, you're inspiring a lot of people.
Yeah.
And with my show, you know, it's about getting insider information for those looking to be in your position, you know. So I basically want you to drop some jewels along your journey to my audience and those who want to be in your position one day, you know. But so we already know where you're from. I want to know where the dream began. You know what I'm saying? What inspired you to do the things you're doing now? And was your first dream always writing, or did you have other dreams before?
No, I think I always wanted to be a writer.
Okay.
You know, being raised in Bed-Stuy, which was at that time in the 90s, the late 80s was the hood. I mean, crack era had hit really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I found a lot. My mother was very strict. I was from a strict household. My dad was strict. He was a pastor in the neighborhood.
Oh,
so
man.
That had his own things that went along with it. And so I learned to read. So because I couldn't go outside and play like with my other friends, I learned to read, and I was always into like Black authors, like Maya Angelou and Toni Morrison. And later on, I got into some other authors like Pedro Pietri and some of the other ones that I really love, New Eureka Cafe and Experience and that. But so I really, really love to read. So once I read, I was like, oh, I can do this. I can write, you know? So it's always been a dream of mine to be a writer.
That's
the professor thing came later.
Okay.
The writer thing, yes, always.
Okay. So, how did you start writing? Like, did you start writing your own poems? Did you was writing raps? Like,
I was never a good rapper. I tried, but you know,
that
wasn't my thing. But I definitely started writing poems. And the funny thing is, like, my friends used to come and tell me, "I'm in a situation with this guy." My homeboys would tell me, "I'm in a situation with this girl. I want you to write," and I would write a poem for them. Like, this is perfect. This is exactly how I feel.
Wow.
Or I would write a letter for them. You know, so everybody knew that was around and grew with me that I was a writer.
Okay.
You know, and I was a part of an after school program called I Have a Dream program, and I did a teenage, like, kind of like magazine for the program. So writing has always just been in me. And I knew I had like a gift because my friends told me actually I had the gift. And so I believed it, you know.
Okay. Well, that's what's up, man. Well, I'm glad, you know, that you follow your purpose and your passion. You know, that's what it's all about, man.
Yes.
Not too many people do that, and people give up early for something.
Can't give up. I can tell you some failures that I've had, you know. So I did my first off-Broadway play when I was 19.
Okay.
And it was in Manhattan, matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
We did it at the Mint Theater. It was supposed to run for 2 weeks. It ran for a month. So that was pretty successful, but sometimes you think, like, right after you do that, like, you just, you know, the world should open up to you. You know, everybody should come out and be like, I want this girl to be a writer. And it just didn't happen like that. So I kind of had a reality check, you know, like, I did a successful play. It was off Broadway. I'm 19, you know, and you know what happened? And I thought I was going to just burst into the energy, but life happened, you know? So And here I am now, 40, really picking it. You know, I've always been writing, but really picking back up, and now really fulfilling my dreams mm-hmm. of becoming a writer. So I will say that you can't give up. You can't, you know, think that failures is the end of it. And you got to keep on pushing. Like, well, I'm a hustler, so I'm mm-hmm. going to make it happen, you know, no matter what it takes.
Right. Now, even when life, like, that's interesting that you mentioned life happens, because life happened for me as well, you know, mm-hmm. and I've gotten discouraged, and from the time I got discouraged to the time I decided to pick it back up, I feel like it was a waste of time. So what do you say to those that find discouragement at that point? Like, how can you, how can someone not, like, find the energy they need not to give up at that point of their life?
That's so hard, you know, and I'm not going to act like they're self-righteous and be like, you just got to do it. You know, there's so many people out here be like, right, just do it. You know, like, they be trying to preach to you, say affirmations to yourself. I promise you, I've done all that and still have been discouraged, you know?
Same.
I will say that is, you know, I will say there is something to say about the belief in yourself. Mm-hmm. There is something to say about that. And it is like, you know, the whole, the secret, right? When mm-hmm. you manifest something you believe is going to happen, it has to manifest itself. Like, so when I get up in the morning and when I say, this is what I want manifested in my life today, this is what I want to happen, I really believe it's going to happen for me, right? You know, and mm-hmm. so my disappointment is, even if it doesn't happen, I'm like, okay, you know what, then I have a better tomorrow. That's mm-hmm. just the attitude that I've learned to take on for myself.
Yeah,
but I will say that comes with time and practice. I wasn't always like that. And I will also say that sometimes things don't happen for a reason. Like, I am who I am because of my failures. Mm. So even when I look back, I'm like, thank you. Because I wasn't ready. Yeah. I was emotionally immature. Mm-hmm. You know, or maybe, you know, I was just making bad decisions at the time. Mm-hmm. So I've learned that even when things don't happen when I think they should have happened, it's for a reason.
Right.
You know, and I can say that now that I'm looking back to be like, okay, you know what? I wasn't ready for that at mm-hmm. that time, you know. So I always say, okay, what's the lesson that's supposed to be learned here? What am I supposed to learn? Because this didn't happen for me. Mm. So I think that's the thing. Instead of, you know, being down, depressed, and, you know, going into a sunken place.
Yeah.
Right? And really be like, okay, what am I supposed to learn? What am I not getting? Mm. Really self-inventory.
Nah, that's good, man. Finding the lesson and your failures. That's dope, man. Because yeah. I actually... before I came to L.A., I always wanted to come to L.A. But, you know... At the time that I was supposed to, some things happened or whatever. I ended up working, mm-hmm. working, thinking I was going to work a month or two, just save some money, turn into a 10-year career in sales. Yeah. But being in sales taught me all the tools I needed to conduct business out here. See? You know, people yes. skills, communication skills, how to sell, how not to be sold, you know yes. what I'm saying? You know, how to believe in a product and pitch it, you know what I'm saying? So if it wasn't for that, when I failed and going through that process, it wouldn't have prepared me for what I encountered yes. today. So I feel you on taking those lessons and not letting it discourage you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's a good story too. Mm. I think that's what people need. They need to see that, like you said, if you wouldn't have went through that, you wouldn't have been the dope person that you are today, right? And you wouldn't been prepared, yeah. right? And so when I look at my own life, like the lessons that I learned through the course of my failures have made me be who I am today and who have manifested who I am today. So now I can see clearly, right? Mm-hmm. I know when I see somebody who's had bad energy, I know when I see somebody who's not real, you know, I know, okay, that all opportunities are not really good opportunities, you know, like, because I've learned what I've learned, I got to turn down some stuff, you know, and really open my heart to some people and close my heart to other people, you know? So these are things that you learn through your failures.
Right. Now, that's a fact. That's a fact. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about Black from Scratch. Yes. You know, what's the message behind it? What's the purpose? What motivated you to put it out? You know?
You know what? This is good. So this is my third book, right? My other two books were... first,
Black Dresses Stained.
Black Dresses Stained, yes. It's actually a short story poetry book for women that went through relationships. It was a time, you know, and I really just poured my heart onto that book. Not for children, you know, adult material. Yes. But, you know, but very, you know, and then I had Relive, which was a time I went through a divorce through my husband and caught him in bed with a woman. Really had to, like, you know, get myself together and be like, you know, relive. Because we do go through these periods of emotional death, you know, when we feel like, oh, man, it's got to be the lowest point. But you know what? It's so funny you say that. I watched at least three movies in the last year or so that showed just before someone had a breakthrough, they went through something where they felt like, you know, all hope was lost or where they were really pushing and pushing and pushing. And that's how I feel it is in life.
Yeah.
You know, right before you get your big moment, you know, you almost feel like, You're at your worst, right? So Black from Scratch was a completely different kind of book. I wanted to change the media's outlook on Black people. I wanted to change the narrative, basically.
What do you think that is? Before you continue, what do you think that is? The media's perception about Black people. What do you think that is?
I think I noticed that no matter how far we've come as a people, if we once were a drug dealer or once did something that was crazy, the media tends to hone in on that narrative. You know, they don't ever let us overcome. You know.
Well, why do you think that is, though?
I think it's systematically that way, so that way Black people will stay in a certain position, you know, in society. And so that other cultures who are not exposed to Black people will tend to look at us in almost like we're inferior, right? And it's the same reason why they don't teach us our history, you know, in the classrooms. And it's the same reason why, you know, if you go in most poor Black neighborhoods, we don't have the resources that other neighborhoods have, right? Because they know, first of all, if you know your history and you know who you are, there's nothing anybody can take away from you. If they know that we were kings and queens and inventors and, you know, that we invented stuff before, you know, these inventions even came out, that we were behind most of the patents of the world, then what could they say about us, right? But if they portray a negative societal stereotype, then that kind of like makes it like, oh, look, those Black people, they are inferior. This is why you should fear them. They are the thugs and the animals and what we portray them to be. So I think that's systematically the way that people feel powerful about themselves, right? In order for people to feel, to have power in society, there must be an inferior population.
So who would you address this to change the narrative?
People that have, I would love all Black people to read it, right? Because it's about our people, about us, you know, for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. But I think it's also important for other cultures to read it, to have access to what it's like to be Black. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why I love this book is because it has Black people of different hues, different backgrounds, all different experiences. Our experiences are not the same. You know, they're diverse in so many ways. And so that's really what I wanted the book to be, like, for other cultures to read it. Now, for me, I've been lucky that I've been exposed to all different cultures, right? So I know that my girlfriend, my best friend is a Muslim, first of all, right? And I'm a Christian, you know, so two different religions. But also my other friend who I lived across the street with was Muslim, a white Muslim lady. And she was close to me, like my friend, you know? And I learned that she's going through some of the same stuff that I went through, you know? And so we tend to think because people are from different cultures and live different lives that they don't have some of the same experiences, right? Of course, some of it is different because of cultural things, right? But some of it is the same, you know? And there's good people in every culture. So I've been traveled enough to know that no matter the culture, you know, you can help me out, you know, Black, white, purple, green, you know, and I need you just like you need me, right? But if I look at a race of people and Black people and think that they're like, oh, we, you know, they're inferior or they don't have the knowledge or what, you know, then I'm already making a bias about people I didn't even get to know.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. You know, I was thinking, because it's like, I feel you on, you know, media kind of steering the narrative on how Black people are inferior and always angry or just a certain type of person. Yeah. But it's like, when you see shows like, for example, Power, no disrespect to nobody in Power, whatever. But it's like,
that's my show too.
That's my show too. Yeah. But it's like, okay, so you have a Black male who's a drug dealer, killer, is also a club owner. You know, they're depicting him to be the hero, but it's also in that light, you know, the typical stereotype. So, but we love it. We love it. We love it. We're watching it. We're supporting it. So it's like, to your message, how do we, you know, like, address that point? You know, what's your takeaway on that? Because we're watching this, we're against it, but we're still enjoying it.
Well, you know what? I think it's important to say that this is part of the Black story too. I mean, I got friends and family members who happen to live the street life. You know, I mean, that's part of our story. I don't shy away from that, because there's something to be said about that too. Jay-Z was a street man who sold dope. I mean, but he is Jay-Z now, right? And there's something to be said about people who come from those environments, but don't shy away. And guess what? Believe it or not, there's a lot of different cultures of people who selling drugs, you know, what I'm saying? Right. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not shying away from my bad uncle or my crazy, you know, cousin or whatever, you know, who's been in jail forever. Right. I'm not shying away from none of my negative things that go on in families. Right. But I am saying that that's not all we are. Right. So I think that's the important thing when it becomes, and I love the show Power. Mm-hmm. I love all the other shows that depict these, you know, I grew up in the hood. I grew up in, you know, Bed-Stuy, you know, the rough time. So it's real to me. Mm-hmm. I know those stories. I know those people, mm-hmm. you know. I've seen people lose their lives to drugs. I've seen people lose their lives in a game. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's a realistic story, and that's why we love it, because we can connect with, especially some of us who've been, we know that can really happen. Yeah, you know, this is the street code. We mm-hmm. see it. This is real. But I wanted to show that this is not all we are, right? So, and I think it's important that we show all facets of every culture. You know, the problem I have is not that they're showing it. The problem I have is when they say this is all the culture has to offer. Mm. You know, so.
Copy that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, that's a good point. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me about you being a college professor. You know, are you passing this message to the children as well, or do you choose a different subject?
So being a college professor is actually the career that I love. I love, you know, teaching college students because they're adults. Mm-hmm. You know, so it is a difference in what I can teach to them. And I started out in corporate America, so I was a financial writer, and I hated it. I made good money, but I did not like it, because I was like, this is not what I want to do my whole life.
Right.
So when I began teaching college, it was like, wow, like, bing, this is it for you, you know? And I teach African-American literature, I teach pop culture, I teach mythology.
Okay.
So I teach a lot of literature, and really literature is so important to me, not only because I feel like the stories have really taught me a lot about my own life.
Mm-hmm.
You, if you are a lover of literature, there's always a lesson in what you read, right? From literature that's not always African literature, you know, things fall apart. Literature that's either for any ethnic group, Southern literature, there's always a lesson you can find in it. So I think that's why I love English. I teach English, but I also teach communications, teaching students how to talk and give speeches and things like that. So it's a great career. I have run a mentoring program. I used to run a minority mentoring program. It's changed a little bit to now being a woman's mentoring program. And I'm not as involved as I used to be. But anytime I can mentor a student and tell them, make them feel like they can make it, you know, I'm all for it. So, you know, that's the goal, you know, letting them know they can do it.
Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Anybody can do it.
Anybody, that's right. It doesn't matter the age, too. Mm-hmm. Your story can begin at 50, you know. Don't think that you pass your prom.
Yeah, look at Morgan Freeman. He didn't get his big shot till he was like 46.
Yes.
Now look at him, killing
it. I know. So, you know, I love that. I love those success stories. That makes me happy.
That's what's up. Okay. Yeah. So tell me your strategy to make your book a bestseller. You know, what's the game plan? How are we gonna do this?
Well, I think you got to be a hustler, first of all. You know, we talk about that sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, the importance of really believing in what you're putting out, you know, and being able to sell it. Like, if you can't believe and talk about it and be able to sell it to somebody else, nobody's going to believe in you either, right? Mm-hmm. I see people put out books and products all the time, and then when you want to get them to talk about it,
they all shy.
You know, this is kind of upset me about.
You should just be a writer.
Yeah, just be a writer. Right, exactly. Be a behind the scenes writer, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to be willing to sell who you are and your product. You know, I love the artist. What's the artist that said she had anxiety and she couldn't perform? You know?
I don't know, man.
She was run by luck, and they couldn't perform. I'm like, what? This is you. This is who you are. This is how you represent yourself to the people.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the strategy, is just be willing to know that you are not a bestseller overnight, right? That's like very few, right? But the more you get yourself out there, and the more people really believe in what you're saying and what you're selling, the more you can really, you know, really connect with people and make an impression. I think that's important.
Okay, so what else though? Like, as far as any marketing strategy specifically, do you have a publicist or a manager who's shopping this book around for you, who's gonna help you get it placed in Barnes and Noble?
So I will tell you, I did a lot of the publicity myself. Okay, I do have a publicist that has helped me along the way, but a publicist without me really getting behind it and pushing equals nothing, right? And publicists can be expensive, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of people don't have the money to just hire a publicist. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways you can go about it. There are some classes you can take. Like, I took a lot of classes, like marketing classes on Facebook, on, mm-hmm. you know, Facebook advertising, Instagram advertising. Yeah. And I think, that has helped.
Okay.
You know, with how to market, how to really market your book. And really, social media is everything. I speak to writers all the time and they're like, I don't have social media. I'm like, what?
What planet do you live on?
Yes, like, this is social media age, honey. All right, Eric, catch up.
Dude, my grandfather got an Instagram. He like 80.
That's right, grandpa. You know? He like, look how sexy I am.
I don't think my grandma knows about that.
She knows now. She done told the secret. Okay.
So good. She don't speak English.
Okay. Yeah, so I think, you know, being in interactive in social media is essential, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I was always active on Facebook, so I just got active in the last couple of months on Instagram.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm late, you know? I didn't realize how late I was behind the scenes, but it's important that you're active on social media and you're active in the community and in the arenas that you want to be. So now I have a Black book, right? I'm mm-hmm. some Black people, so I'm going to Black events. I'm in Black anyway, so yeah. You know, might as well. But I'm really, you know, seeking out my community. I'm talking to Black bookstore owners, you know, and I'm doing book signings there. So I think it's important that you seek out what you want. You make the list of what you want. Do your own marketing plan. And there's free marketing plans online. You can book marketing plans, you know, online. Mm-hmm. But there's also a good website, a resource that's Book 101, and it gives you everything in a book market.
Okay.
Literally, it will give you all the downloads you need for, like, free, you know, some of that stuff is free. There's also, there's another person called Joel Friedman. Mm-hmm. He does a whole bunch of, like, resources for writers.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google him, Joel Friedman. Mm-hmm. He does a whole, and he does it, you know, really inexpensive. Templates, marketing plans, everything you need as a writer.
Okay.
So take advantage of those, you know?
Right.
Those things, yeah.
Okay. So tell me, how does an author make money? Like, you know, like with the bookstores, like, you know, do you sell it to them at wholesale and they sell it retail? Yes. Is that pretty much how?
Yeah. You sell it to them at wholesale. It's a cut. It depends on the thing, but it's a huge cut. So make sure you price your book right.
Yeah.
Because you want to make sure you make money.
Mm-hmm.
Like this book, of course, it was a full color book. Mm-hmm. So it was big. So I had to, you know, get it done in China.
Okay.
So that came with its own.
That's good. So yeah, it's probably cheaper, right?
It's cheaper, but it's a lot of more work. Yes, because now you're your own distributor and your own publisher. So you got to send it out and, you know, market it a different way.
Mm.
But I still sell it through Amazon. So that's a good thing. But now I ship to Amazon. So I'm really the distributor for Amazon.
So you do ebook and hard copy?
No, just hard copy of this one.
Okay.
But the other ones, they are ebook because they're small books. So I went straight through Amazon. That's pretty easy because if you decide to publish through Amazon, they kind of take care of everything for you. And, you know, it's an easy 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other outlets up there. So I don't want to just say Amazon, you know, so they're not paying me. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's pretty easy, just simple to set up. And really just, you got to really just begin writing. You know, to get your book, you know, begin writing. I have so many people like, I need to tell my story. I'm like, well, what'd you read? I haven't read anything. You got to start.
Yeah. You didn't start your story yet.
Yeah, start it. Yeah, that's the best thing. So, it's easier if you go through Amazon, who's a smaller book, and you could just, you know, they ship out to the customers, print on demand. It's really easy. So.
Okay. Now, I appreciate that information because I'm writing a book right now, actually, and I'm going to go the ebook route.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of push it out like that, see how it's doing. If the market demands a hard copy, then I'll give them a hard copy.
Yeah. And actually, if you go through Amazon, they can make you a hard copy and an ebook. Same platform.
Okay.
So think about it.
You sure Amazon not paying you? You promote them kind of
hard. They're not paying. They need to cut me a check.
They definitely do.
I need to send this to them.
Well, you sound like a workaholic. You know, you're author, speaker, entrepreneur, college professor. What do you do to unwind, you know, when you just want to relax and chill?
That's good. Mm-hmm. You know, I come to places like L.A.
Okay.
Actually,
ain't no relax out here. You're an entrepreneur. This is more work.
This is more work. Yeah. Yes, really. It's hatred. I love to travel. You know, I've been all around the world. I've been to Dubai and, you know, just some amazing places. I love culture. I've been to Cuba before they stopped us from going, you know. And
how was that?
It was different. You know, I was... I did not like the poverty there, you know, because the situation is still under like a socialist regime.
Yeah.
But the people were beautiful. And, you know, I really enjoyed like just looking at the artifacts and, you know, the sculptures and, you know, the history of the people. Just wonderful people. So nice. So kind. And, you know, it's just ashamed of the situation that they're in. You know, when you come to CTP, I had like a piece of Tic Tac and one of my drivers was like, oh, can I get one of those? You know, and he was so excited. I said, you can have it. You know, and he was excited about this little Tic Tac. So I was giving, so I was, you know, you don't really, really recognize what we have over here in America until you experience something like that. Right. You know?
Makes you appreciate what you got.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I do. I travel because I love to learn about the cultures and other people, but I write, you know, that's like my downtime thing. I love to watch good shows like Power and David Makes Man and all the shows that's out and go to the movies. So yeah, that's what I do in my downtown. I know I have kids too, so they always keep me busy.
You got three kids.
Okay. Yeah, and they always keep you busy. 16, 14, and 7.
Ooh, that's some age. That's the age I was wilding out. My mom didn't know what to do
with me. Oh, me too. That was my crazy age. Yeah. Thank goodness my children are not like me. Okay? So yes, thank you, Jesus Christ, my heart. You know, like thank you, God, for giving me great children. But yeah, I was crazy too. I was wilding out. But you know, we were from New York. It's different. Yeah, yeah. You know, like everybody was wilding out. We were going to the tunnel. What was the tunnel?
I never made it to the tunnel, but I heard stories. I think at the time the tunnel was going crazy, I was in Patterson. Which was, they sent me, I had gotten to a situation, my mother got scared and she sent me away to my grandparents to Patterson, but Patterson's worse.
So great. But in Bentley, remember the club Bentley?
Then I wasn't clubbing.
You wasn't clubbing. We was clubbing hard, you know. But that experience is good for us too. We lived that life. You know, we're not fiending for it anymore.
Right,
you know?
Not at all. And we don't want that for our children.
No. No. You know, I read something that Jay-Z said in the article. He was like, I don't want my daughter to be a thug. And, you know, I want her to live a whole different life. And I feel that way with my kids. I don't want them to have to experience what I experience, see what I see. I want them to be tough, yes.
Yes.
But I want them to be tough in a different kind of way, you know. So,
as you should. Yeah. Tough up here.
That's right. Mentally, strong. Not have to worry about they going to get shot or, you know, if they have, you know, betrayed or anything that we kind of had to. We got to watch our backs. We don't. We take for granted what growing up in New York was really like back then. You know?
And people who are not from there don't understand.
No.
They just don't.
No.
Like my girl, she's from Cincinnati, Ohio. And, you know, how, you know, New Yorkers, we're always on high alert.
Yes,
like we watch
no matter what.
And she's just like, la, 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 la. And I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Like, wake up. You know, you could get robbed out here. It's real out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, my kids are like, I get up in the middle of the night and lock the door. My kids are like, Mom, nobody's coming to rob us. And I'm like, okay, always keep your eyes open.
Right,
you never know. Just when you sleep is when they rob you.
Exactly.
You know? So, it's something we have inside of us. So.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. So where can people get the book?
Okay, they can get the book at Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. It's available also on my website, Chalets With, www.chaletswits.com. So please support the book. It's a great project. We have it over here.
I'm supposed to get a signed copy.
Yes, I'm going to sign it. Yes, I'm going to sign it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, where's that special pen?
Yes. Okay, yes. You see, my special pen is gold. Yes. Okay, this is the money-making pen.
You sign the checks with.
Yes, exactly. Yes. See, you guys are witnesses to me giving him a signed copy.
And you go, oh, you're lefty?
Yes, okay. I'm a lefty. That's what's up. Lefties are the best, you know? So I'm so excited to have you. Please check it out.
Well, do you got an audio version, by the way, or no?
No audio version.
Okay.
You know, and it's easy reading because if you look at it, like, it's short story. So it has pictures in it of everybody that we did with the short stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to take you, like, you can, it's a coffee table book. You can put it on your coffee table and go through the stories, like, you know, different stories. And all black people. This is all black everything. The photographer, Kia Thomas, is a black woman. Mm-hmm. She's on the back. Kia Taylor, sorry. She did all the photography as a black woman. Mm-hmm. And it was designed by, you know, black people designed it. And, you know, so all black everything for this book.
All
black everything, you know.
That's what's up. Yes. Well, you know, congratulations. I wish you much success with it. The sales and everything, man. Thank you for this. I'm going to check it out and give you my honest opinion.
Okay, yes, you know, please. My story is the last one, so make sure you read mine.
There you go. This is you right here?
Yes.
I see you. Nice photo.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Yes.
Well, all right. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Oh,
man.
And thank you
great.
For having me.
I mean, the vibe was right, so we had to get it done.
Exactly.
You know, say hi to my man, Jason. Jason in the cut.
You know, oh, yes, my cousin's here. You
know, so shout out my man Tony. Appreciate you looking us up and making this happen. This is your boy Johnny Vegas. Stay tuned for more episodes to come on Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast, and subscribe to the channel.